Two Bulls in a China Shop is brought to you by these great companies that are giving us money to let you listen to their stuff.
Bullshit, Kyle. We make this show. We make this show. You and me. Two Bulls in a China Shop is brought to you by us.
Someone's got to pay the bills, Dan, because it's not our trading.
All right, roll them.
Liberty's leave policy was tremendous. Having the ability to take 16 weeks off, fully paid to bond with my child, was an incredible experience.
At Liberty Mutual, you can find a career that supports you at every step, even baby steps. We offer up to 16 weeks parental leave for new moms and dads. And because not everyone's pathway to parenthood looks the same, we offer robust fertility, surrogacy, and adoption benefits too. Learn more at libertymutualcareers.com and pursue your tomorrow today.
You are listening to an entertainment program put together by a company called Financial Ineptitude. Anything said on this show is not an endorsement or professional advice. Would you really want to tell a court of law you were suing us because you thought taking financial advice from two idiots on a podcast put out by Financial Ineptitude was a good idea? Really? Clown hat, smiley face.
Well, hello and welcome, everyone. Step on into the shop, kicking the doors open. I'm Shopkeeper Dan. With me, as always, is the inimitable Kyle, creator of FinancialNeptitude.com. How you doing today, Kyle?
I'm going to have to take next week off.
Oof. Just from everything, or are you still going to watch?
Just after you said I'm always there. Just after you said I'm always here.
Just to prove me a liar.
Just watching everything tank, except for the things I buy puts on. How does that work?
Oh, it was a good week for puts, too. Come on, man.
Right.
Oh, come on into the shop with us today, folks. Sit back, relax, hedge against the rage machine. We'd love to welcome any new listeners just joining us. We're here smashing our way and you know, trying to get a complete set of fine china through Smash Little Bits, sharing those ever-growing strategies for trying to maximize gains and cut those losses. If you are new to the shop and stock trading in general, you can always check out our Knowledge Center or Resource and Resource Center on financialneptitude.com, or give one of our beginning trading episodes a listen. We'll have all those links in the episode description. But Kyle and I recommend very highly, join us on our Discord server. We're on there every day having a good time.
We don't recommend anything. No. But we would love to see you there.
Can I recommend drinking enough water in a day? Is that safe?
Someone might overdo it. You gotta be careful with that.
Somebody's gonna drown and blame us.
I'm not getting sued, Dan. God damn it.
God damn it. Hop on our Discord server, shoot us a private message with your mailing address. We'll make sure to send you some smash it yourself mugs and shot glasses straight from the shop, or smashing isn't your thing. We got beer koozies now. Very excited about that.
Yes, we do.
Yep. We're really just glad everybody's here. We have a lot of fun, and it is always better with friends. So thanks for joining us. You guys are great. Kyle, we got any show news today?
Well, not really, I guess. Next week, we got Rich Friesen coming up, and James McGinnis, or however you say that, from founder of Odd Burger. And we've been pretty much on a recording spree trying to get ready for this end of year special. So we've talked to, I think, all but two of the guests that we're planning on having back. And, man, every single one of them seems to go along. This is going to be a two-parter for sure.
This is our sixth recording in 2 days. Seventh.
Something like that. Actually, we got three more to do, I think.
Oh, all right. Well, they've all been fun, luckily.
It's really nice, though. And all very complimentary of us, which is really a nice change of pace.
Yeah. I certainly...
You have a what? Why do you do that for?
Right. I certainly don't compliment you or myself enough.
I know I don't.
Yeah, right. Well, sit back and relax, folks. We have got an enormous, enchanting, euphoric episode today. Wait, no, that's enormous. They all start with E, but it's not alliteration.
That's three.
We've got an elaborate, electric.
Esoteric.
Esoteric episode. We got an episode for you today, and it's got some adjectives.
Lots of ease. Lots of ease.
Lots and lots of ease.
Guarantee that.
Market moving news, plenty of stocks on the radar, more options than adjectives that start with the letter E.
There you go. Nailed it.
Nail it.
Is it still a callback if it happens 20 seconds later?
Kyle, 10 seconds ago is on the phone. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's a callback. And please, please, listeners, reach out to us. We absolutely love and adore your messages and comments on Twitter, Facebook, Discord. You're old school. You can send us an email to twobulls@financialineptitude.com. That's the number 2bulls@financialineptitude.com. Or you can dial us up on your phone. I always love that. 725-22-BULLS.
Phones can still do that.
They still do that, right? Maybe you got a hot stock tip. Maybe you want to tell us about a great trade you just made. Or
maybe you just have a bitchin' mustache picture of yourself that you want to share with us. Send me a mustache picture. I'll send you some swag.
Oh, there you go. There you go. It doesn't matter. We just love it when you reach out.
Yeah.
Really enjoying my clean shaven face, Kyle.
Oh, I forgot to shave mine. Oh, just letting the rest catch up.
Oh, Kyle, we got to talk about some bet results.
Well, I know I wasn't the biggest loser of the week, but I definitely didn't beat you this week.
No, not this week. Not this week.
I had a very loose stop loss this time. I think it might have actually put me in some trouble. GE opened at 99.27, hit my stop Wednesday at 93.50 for finishing off the week at 92.77. Hitting that stop loss brought my total down to 559.60. If you would have made that NVIDIA pick, you might actually have been in the lead.
Oh, the NNDM?
The NNDM, yeah. The one I talked you out of.
doing some rough math in my head, if it was like a 7% gain, I still wouldn't have gotten it.
Okay, that makes me feel so much better.
I would only be like $20 higher than I am now. I did go back and
do that. Is
okay. I shorted PEI. It opened the week at $1.26, closed the week at $1.16. Which brought my total from 453.09 up to 492.15.
Almost break even. You definitely would have been positive if you would have went with your initial pick.
Yeah. But still, with my streak these past 3 months, I'm satisfied with only losing 1.5%.
Yeah. Well, random
user.
I think we decided to give Cleveland Cliffs. Yeah, from one of our friends of the show. Did not do so well. We decided to let it run through another week to give it a chance to redeem itself. It finished off the week at 2012. It initially opened 2 weeks ago at 22.28. It's now sitting at 440.36. So it's not as easy as it looks, guys. If you think you can do better, feel free to submit us one.
Right. Buying on a Monday and selling on a Friday, or making your trade on a Monday and a Friday, it's a harder game than you think.
Yeah. Trying to plan it out before you can see anything else, and then having to stick with those rules even when you can see it not happening the way you envisioned.
All right. Shall we move on? Talk about some news?
I think I'm ready.
Well, we all know why we're listening today. The shop is bursting with the week to replay. So sit back, we got some market affairs. Get some stories for the bulls and the bears. Clowns running companies. Laws change overnight. Here we are. It's time for China Shop News. Yeah, now it's time for China Shop News.
Okay. You got any big stories for us?
Yes. It's December, so you know what that means, right?
No, what does it mean?
It means annual government shutdowns.
Oh, yeah. 'Tis the season.
But not this year. Not this year. The government shutdown was avoided hours before the deadline today. The Senate backed the measure 69-28 that was just approved by the House. The House got a lot less Republican support. They were trying to get rid of the federally mandated COVID vaccination for the employees at large companies, but the Democrats were able to thwart that, I suppose is the term they use here. So passed on Thursday, the House, 221 to 212. But this looks like it's still more of a stopgap. I think they probably have to be going back through the same thing again come February. So get ready for that long chain of budget reconciliation bullshit in the news.
Wow. I remember when budget stuff was boring.
Yeah, but no shutdown this year. It's a Festivus miracle.
Wait. So Biden is backing out of the war on Christmas? God damn it. Early withdrawal. Ugh. Sorry. I haven't seen that. I thought it was funny.
I thought Christmas won the war. I'm pretty sure they did.
Oh, well, we should throw drugs versus Christmas and see who wins that war.
I think drugs wins that hands down.
Drugs wins every war. How do people win? They're on drugs. Oh, anyway.
What do you got?
Little off the rails. Ooh, it's been a long day.
A little bit.
Economists are starting to realize that maybe this labor shortage is permanent.
Oh, I thought it was definitely not the last article you found.
Yes. I mean, I don't want to use the word transitory, but...
Please don't.
The U.S. Chamber of Commerce did a poll of unemployed Americans during the pandemic that haven't gone back to work. And more than half said that they're just somewhat active or not very active at all in their job search. 65% said they don't expect to return before 2022. And one third don't expect to return before April of 2022.
It's only like 5 months, though.
That's true. But 8% said they never plan to return to work.
All right.
So while estimates were that of the 3.4 million people who left the labor force, about 1.5 million were early retirees, 1 million were on-time retirees, but the number of people self-employed, such as ourselves, has ticked up.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't look like workers are scrambling to come back anytime soon with demands of, you know, people.
I'll start paying them more, I bet they will.
Apparently, the sentiment is workers want higher pay, safety measures, and benefits.
Ah, that's crazy. Isn't this what led to labor unions back in the day?
Right? Yeah. Lack of pay and benefits and safety measures. That's exactly what led to labor unions.
Yeah. Just didn't want to die at work.
Well, that's just it, too, is apparently the pandemic has had a lot of people realize that life's too short to work in a job they don't like.
Yeah. That's the exact realization I came to.
Yeah, right. So, you know, it's going to be tough to find workers. I got to say, like, out of curiosity, I pulled open the classifieds. I was looking at all the job stuff out there in the Tucson labor market.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the exact same stuff it was 2 years ago before the pandemic.
Oh, wow.
The same jobs, same pay. Tucson hasn't learned its lesson.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Yep. the idea was floated to me that my old hotel was wondering if I would come back, and I was like, they'll never pay me what I'd want.
Right. And go back to nights.
Yeah, I can't do that for my own physical health. I'm a morning person. Nights was killing me. It made me dyslexic.
Definitely can't be working during trading hours, though.
I'm not going back to the hotel, Kyle.
Oh, well, what if they come up with an offer you can't refuse? If they offer to fund your account?
50 grand right now. Come back to work. Oh, shit.
Okay.
Okay. I'm setting up my trading computer right here at the front desk. Twist my arm.
There you go.
I'm going to tell hotel guests, hold on. I'm in the middle of a fucking futures trade. I got to wait till this closes out.
It's like George used to do.
Yeah.
I saw something that was really interesting that I want to pivot to. Since we're rehashing old subjects, such as the labor shortage, the supply crisis.
Yeah.
I was looking at something that said that there's actually a major water shortage going on in China, and that's kind of exacerbating everything.
Really? Like fresh water?
I don't know if it's necessarily fresh water, but the... It's got to be because you can probably use different kinds of water in power generation, right? But that's where a lot of it's getting a lot of the struggles are. The electrical, the power plants.
Hydroelectric?
Not hydroelectric. Well, some hydroelectric, some coal power producers, a lot of them are struggling with the access to their water. So because of this, there's widespread power outages that the authorities are trying to respond to by clamping down on the industrial consumption, which is leading to major disruptions in the Chinese manufacturing So because the U.S. imports so much manufactured goods from China, which, according to this article, includes 70% of all Walmart store merchandise.
Yeah.
40% of the clothing sold domestically. That's a problem.
Oh, yeah.
So not only can we not get it to where it needs to go, but now they're not even producing it.
They're not even producing it. Damn.
Yeah, so this this could be something to keep an eye on.
Maybe shows a little bit of the weakness of the authoritarian government, like stepping in and being like, we'll solve this with this single answer.
Well, I mean, that works for China, not necessarily for the rest of the world.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, the weakness is China maybe has made a bad fix.
Yeah. China's per capita water availability is 1/4 of the global average, and nearly 700 million citizens live in regions considered highly water stressed.
Wow.
Also, according to this too, groundwater depletion has been so significant in the areas around Beijing that parts of the city are falling into the earth by more than 14 centimeters a year.
14 centimeters a year?
Yeah, that's crazy. So half a foot?
That's insane. Well, yeah, about 4.5, 5 inches. Almost half a foot. Yeah, half can you foot? Think about your house sinking half a foot in a year?
Yeah.
Wow. That is remarkable. Wow. They're just sinking. Is it because they're taking all the water out of the ground? Putting it in?
Yes, that's exactly what it is.
Whoa. Wow. Was it Battlefield Earth? The cyclos did that to their home planet? They just took everything out of the ground until it imploded.
Well, that was mining. Yeah.
Same thing. You're taking water, taking minerals. Eventually, some upstart kid's gonna send a nuclear bomb through the teleporter. God, I wasted a good one for the phone call gag. Damn it!
Oh yeah, you did.
All right, start the show over, Kyle.
Yeah. Okay.
Back it up.
All right. What other stories you got?
I had one that really caught my eye. Apparently, thanks to a new rule from the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, debt collectors can now contact you on social media.
I mean, is that going to do them any good?
Well, they can now say, we know you read it, because there's red receipts, and I doubt Facebook's going to side with the user.
That's a good point.
If you need another reason to get off social media, that's a big one to me. Yeah, because the debt collection laws say that they have to reach you, right?
Yeah, but I mean, okay, so there's been a couple times I've actually gone to collection, but that's only because I forgot about something or moved and like the last bill didn't get paid. Like, they'll call me, I'll answer, I'll talk to them, and yeah. I'll hang up on them, and then I'll call the people that actually owe the money to and then settle it with them.
And settle it with them.
Like, they call you anytime they want. They can demand whatever they want, and just ignore them. I don't think it's like getting served papers.
Yeah. It's not like
they're not taking it to court, right?
I once made the mistake of paying the debt collector. And
oh, you never pay that bastard.
Never pay the debt collector. I paid it was like a $200 like urgent care bill that I had insurance at the time, and I thought the insurance covered it, and it didn't. Yeah, and I paid the debt collector, and it took 7 years.
That's on your credit score for
it took years. Fucking years to get off my credit score, where if I'd paid the actual, like I'd driven down to the urgent care center and paid them, it wouldn't have stayed.
Yeah. I made the mistake of paying a debt collector once when I was really young. And this was because I didn't know it was the debt collector. I didn't really know any better. I think I told my mom, and it's like, she freaked out because she's really good at knowing about credit scores and all that shit. And I was on the phone calling the actual company. I ended up paying it twice. I was like, all right, screw it.
Let me cover my bases here.
It's worth keeping my credit score intact. Yeah, to pay an extra $100 to the right person.
Right.
Yeah, if you get a call from a debt collector, I mean, yeah, they could be annoying, but fuck them.
Yeah. Well, now they can flood your Facebook message box.
Yeah. You can block people on Facebook.
I'm willing to bet money. I will bet you now if you'll take it. And I don't think you will. Facebook will have a special they'll have a special title, category, whatever, for debt collectors, where you can't block them. You can't, like, it makes sure you read them. Like, trust me, Facebook's going to side with the debt collectors on this one.
I wouldn't be surprised with that.
Sons of bitches. Hey, Kyle, ask me what I think about Facebook.
Fuck them.
Fuck them. That's what I think.
Oh, well, that's great. Yeah, if you are a debt collector, wait, hang on. If you are a debt collector, take note from what we talked about earlier with the Great Resignation and quit that shit job and do something good.
Something good, right? Right?
Yeah. That's all I have to say about that.
Right. Jesus. And there are plenty of jobs where you can be doing something good. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, I've got a couple other news stories, but they're stock specific. I don't know if we're talking about them here or later.
Nope. Next segment.
Next segment. Okay. Well, you got any more news stories for us?
No, I'm tapped. I had those two big ones, the ones that stuck out to me.
Oh man. Well, I think, God, I feel like we need one more, at least just to pad the segment, right?
What? So you can edit it more?
Touche. All right.
Like, we Moving might actually on. Keep this below an hour like you want.
This is far too early to move on.
What is wrong with you? Yeah.
When you're making a ton of money trading all them stocks and options and futures, what are you going to do with all that profit?
I'll let you know when I have it. I know what I'd like to do with it.
Oh, yeah.
And that would be probably buy some real estate.
Oh, yeah. And we happen to know somebody who's really good at facilitating loans, real estate loans. I don't know if you're aware of this, Kyle.
No, do tell.
Some loans are just a big mistake, and up over your head. Drowning in those rates and fees, someone left unsaid. Who's the right kind of lender to find the thing that fits your needs? And you just have to call her, 'cause you know that she was born to be. She's a loan maker, dream banker, debt saver. Won't you call her up and see? She's a loan maker, dream banker, debt saver. Won't you call her?
Two Bulls in a China Shop is proudly sponsored by Sue Pullen at Fairway Independent Mortgage and Equal Housing Lender. Sue Pullen is a certified mortgage advisor. She just does such a great job focusing on helping the individual, assessing their needs and explaining their options and hooking them up with the right mortgage product. She's got over 20 years experience helping thousands of people, whether it's purchasing, refinancing. She'll even do a reverse mortgage if it's right. I mean, I personally don't think it will be, but it could be. I don't know. Sue will know better than me.
Dan, no. The reverse mortgages these days are awesome. I can't wait till I get mine. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well, there you go, folks. Learning something new every day. Sue will help you with all that stuff. She's licensed in 27 states. So reach out, see what Sue could do for you. Best way to reach her, just give her a call, 520-977-7904. Or you can write her an email, SPULLEN@fairwaymc.com. That's SPULLEN@fairwaymc.com. Fairway Independent Mortgage has an MLS number 2289. Sue Pullen has an MLS number 206048. That email again is SPULLEN@fairwaymc.com. And that phone number, 520-977-7904.
Reach out to Sue and see what she can do for you.
For you.
All right. Two Bulls in a China Shop is also proudly affiliated, dare I even say partnered, with the Trade Pro Academy.
I don't know if we're partnered yet.
George said it first. I think it's okay.
Oh, did he?
No, he called us partners to his marketing group. Yeah.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Trade Pro Academy is an educational platform that offers institutional trader development programs to new and experienced independent traders. Got a great staff of highly knowledgeable, successful traders. There's just no better place that we've found to learn everything that you need to know to be successful.
Mm-hmm.
Find them online at tradeproacademy.com, or you can use our affiliate link in the episode description, or even better, you can join our Discord and get access to our 10% exclusive discount link.
Secret exclusive.
And we know that's exclusive because I've heard George multiple times say that he does not give out discounts.
Mm-hmm.
So we managed to swindle one past him until he realizes that we're going to keep promoting it.
We just keep them jokes coming and he doesn't have time to think about what's happening.
Well, what we know is that he's not listening. When he finally ends up filling in for one of us as a guest host, we make him read that.
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah. Oh, yes. Oh.
Yeah, maybe I do need to take next week off.
No, it's my turn. It's my turn.
Okay.
All right. Whew. Should we move on? Talk about some stocks?
Yeah.
You say you want a ticker that wins. The bell just rung. It's time to get in. Ups drive us wild. Drops drive us crazy.
I should probably load all the charts on TradingView of the stocks I'm about to talk about. That might be smart.
Probably. Why don't you go first? Because I only have one story.
Okay.
And that way we keep the symmetry.
The bigger of my two stories, I think, is NVIDIA.
Mm-hmm.
They have been trying to acquire British chip technology provider ARM, A-R-M, with an $80 billion deal.
Was that the deal with the programmable semiconductor logic, kind of like remember AMD when they purchased Xilinx?
Yeah.
Like, I think they were doing that in response to NVIDIA making this purchase.
Yes. Yeah. ARM licenses its chip architecture and blueprints to Apple and Qualcomm and Samsung. They're currently owned by Japan's SoftBank.
Okay.
And $80 billion is a pretty good price tag for that. It's speculated that if ARM did an IPO, it would not reach anything close to an $80 billion valuation. So,
well, the headline says $40 billion
deal. I'm looking at the Reuters story. I don't know. It says $80
billion. Reuters.
Reuters, Reuters, whatever.
It's German.
It's German. So, this is December 2nd, the FTC sued to block the acquisition.
Why is it? That is so weird.
Well, it's saying that it would give one of the largest chip companies, NVIDIA, control over computing technology and designs that competitors rely on to develop their own competing chips.
Okay.
Apple, Qualcomm, Samsung.
Well, sucks to be them. So should we break up ARM then too? Because everybody's dependent on them now.
Right. And they're not even public yet.
Like, where do you stop? Yeah.
I'm looking forward to a day when we got mom and pop semiconductor manufacturers.
Why does this say $80 billion in the story? But then if you look at the headline or the link, it says...
Oh, the link does say $40 billion. I don't know. But it says $80 billion twice in the story, so...
Yeah, I'll go with that. I remember being very big.
So it's $40 billion, $80 billion. They're both astronomical to me.
Yeah, more than I have.
NVIDIA has been riding highs, right? They're doing just fine. Yes. On their data center business and on the growth of their data center business. They will have a fee, but it's something like $1.25 billion if the deal doesn't close, which I think is really, really strange. I mean, I'm sure many people in business are like, well, that's common, but Kyle,
it's like earnest
I'm going to buy your house, but, and if I decide not to, I'll give you 10 grand.
Yeah, that's exactly how it works.
Yeah.
It's called earnest money.
Well, I guess it's like the options contract. They're paying $1.25 billion for the right, but not the obligation.
Yeah. There you go.
Okay. So, I guess to round up the story, an analyst with a company called Bernstein named Stacy Razgon has said, nobody thinks the deal is going to close. The data center story has really been playing out. The software narrative has become a bigger piece of the story. I'd love to see this deal, but I don't think they need it.
When did this story come out? December 2nd?
Yeah, December 2nd.
Yeah, it looks like stock's been selling off since then.
Oh yeah. Looking at the price?
Yep.
Yeah, and pretty decent volume too. It hit its
all-time
high on November 22nd, that all-time high being $346.47. It came down, popped up, did not hit a new high, and now it's making a new low. So I don't know. I really like 292 as support.
Yeah, I got one right around there at this price. It's
288.5.
Yeah, that's where I got mine, but that's just on the Wix. But man, if that fails, that could be quite a fall.
Yeah, I mean, even they've even got a little bit of a gap from the beginning of November.
Mm-hmm.
Minor support at like the $250 area.
I think the next main support comes in right before that volume hump, right around 230.
Yeah, 230 under that.
Well, 300 is going to be a huge level just because it's a psychological level. I think if that falls, then yeah, your first target's probably spot on. And if it can't catch support there, that's kind of like last chance before we really dump.
Yeah. Well, with these big cap companies too, like let's not discount the 100-day moving average as a potential support.
Hmm.
It's currently at 243. We'll see where it's at as NVIDIA continues. I don't see this slowing down its downward trend.
Right.
Not at the moment. So we're watching.
Remember though, just because you think something doesn't mean it's going to happen. Let it play out.
No, I made a vision board of the stock chart, and that's what's going to happen.
All right. Another big stock story I want to talk about, this is the main one that was on my plate, was Twitter. Jack Dorsey just unexpectedly deciding he doesn't want to be running the company anymore, which considering that he was kind of viewed as like a hands-off leader, I don't really think there's much difference. In fact, honestly, I don't really see this as anything but good. I mean, we've been pretty critical of Dorsey in general just because he's kind of an idiot.
Yeah.
But Twitter, I think, is one of the worst run social media companies out there, like worse than Facebook, in my opinion. Like, you can't even give them money. Like, we tried to advertise with them, but something happened like a year ago, and you have nobody to talk to. There's no support chat. There's nobody that you can go to resolve that. So I can't even give them money if I wanted to.
That is true. And that's really sad.
That's ridiculous for a company.
Yeah.
But yeah, they've been really selling off. But the story that I got is actually the new CEO that took over. He's really starting to put together some changes like quickly. I think he's already put two new executives in, or he's gotten rid of two new executives. The head of engineering, Michael Montano, and chief design officer, Daniel Davis, have stepped down as part of the reshuffling, as will the company's head of people, Jennifer Christie. So he's saying, in an email obtained by the Washington Post, he said that he will focus on clear decision-making, increased accountability, and faster execution. So we've been making a number of organizational and leadership changes to best position us to achieve our goals. We've all discussed the critical need for more operational rigor, and it must start from the top.
Okay. Wow. Sounds like he's gung-ho and ready to go.
Remember when we talked to, who was it that we talked to that said that he didn't believe a turnaround in a company could happen unless there was actually change in the leadership?
Oh, change bridge.
That was Ross Klein, right?
Yeah, Ross Klein.
Yeah. This is that moment right there, it looks like to me.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, the sell-off is happening. It's really dumping. I mean, it's down at 42 as we're recording this. I wouldn't try to catch that falling knife, but I would be watching some certain areas to see if maybe you can catch some support around there.
What are your areas, Kyle?
Well, I'm pulling up the chart right now, and I'm looking at this huge volume node going back over the last 3 years at 32, 33 area, starts around 35. There's another little node right around 40, but I don't know that 40 is going to hold. I think 40 is your first area to watch, and then 36 to 32 is the next area.
Yeah.
If it can't catch support around 32, then I'd be really worried.
I definitely feel you. I feel like it's right at one of the lines at 42 right now.
Yeah.
Like it's right really there.
Yeah. Like this is a decisive moment right now.
Uh-huh. And then yeah, I agree with you. Well, I say my next range would be 35 half to 36 half, that area.
Yeah.
But below that, it's like 27 half and then 20, you know.
Well, I just see there's been a lot of volume traded between 28 and 36. 35 half. or 35, 35 and 28, like somewhere in that range is, if that can't hold there, then there's abandoned ship.
Yeah, it has not had a great month.
It's about time. Fucking hate Twitter.
It is looking a little oversold on the RSI, but you know, they can always sell more.
Yeah, but remember, news trumps technicals. That's big news. Does. Even though Dorsey's, I mean, I don't know what he's resigning for. Oh, he's going to run a crypto, isn't he?
Some new crypto company.
Wasn't that like his passion project? I assume it's Hamster Coin.
You're right. You'd have to.
Has to be, right?
Has to be. Fucking Hamster Coin.
Yeah. So short Twitter if you can. This is not a recommendation to do
anything. This is not a recommendation. Kyle's telling me. Personally, he's saying,
I think I might be short in Twitter the way I'm looking at this.
I can't see
I don't know.
Why you wouldn't. If it breaks the $41 area and retests it on its way down, like on that retest, as it goes back up with the volume low, like, yeah, short that sucker.
I don't even watch to see if it retests 45 half.
Yeah.
And try and short it there.
Yeah. The key is on those pullbacks, the volume will be going down.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You need to see it retest with lower volume. That's how you know the momentum's not behind it.
Yeah. Yep.
All right. I think the next stock on your list is the same one that was on my watch list. So I'll let you do the story then.
Yes. Big news today came out about Peloton, one of the darlings of the shutdown, if you will, the at-home mm-hmm. fitness company. Deutsche Bank has a guy named Chris, well, I'll say it in German, Voronka, said his unemotional analysis suggests...
Okay.
Yeah. His unemotional analysis. No word on what his emotional analysis is.
Right.
He's kind of rated a buy and with a price target of $76 in the next 12 months.
Where did he get... 76.
I don't know, because I pulled up, it's like we both pulled up the chart right away and we're like,
it's like right in the middle of a huge gap down. Like, yeah,
right. Like the thinnest spot on the volume profile.
There's support level at 80.
right? No.
I think what it is he's using fundamental analysis, or as we look at technicals. Technically, yeah. I don't see anything that would support a 76 price target. And no. Technically, I don't see anything that supports wanting to buy this stock right now.
I've had my eye on it since that big gap down from their terrible earnings call. I've even like been on Reddit and posting about it.
Well, we talked about it on November 6th too. And I'll kind of quickly, briefly touch on what we said to watch for. We said that we didn't think it was done dropping on the 6th. I think it was trading.
It was like the day after the gap, right?
Let's see. The 5th was the big gap. Yeah, the 5th was the gap down. It was still above 50 at that point. I think we said to watch. I think 50 was our level, actually. Yeah, we were watching for 50 to see if there was any strength coming in, people rushing to buy. And if not, then we were targeting a drop back down into those mid-40s, possibly even the mid-30s. And right now it's trading at, what, 43?
43 half.
42, 43? Yeah. Still haven't seen that strength yet, though. That selling pressure still looks really strong.
It had one green candle day with solid, solid volume and immediately spent the next 5 days going down.
See, when you see that to me, I'm guessing is all those people who were shorting it, taking their profit.
Right. Buying it back, taking their profit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're
reloading to do it again.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So we'll see if 41 half holds as support. I doubt it.
I do too. I'm eyeing 35, 34 half as the next level to see if it can hold.
Exactly. I'm right there with you. Exactly. 35, 36 zone. We'll see. I want to see it hit support and truly find it, and then find a new high, pull back, and not find a new low, right?
If you look at it on the daily right now, you'll see it kind of bouncing in a tight range. I want to see that, but I want to see the green bars on the volume. I want to see those higher than the red bars while it's in that consolidation mode. That's what I want to see before I try to jump in. When I see it where the red bars are higher than the green bars, that makes me want to sell it.
Yep. Should have got puts this morning. Jeez.
Every stock that we've talked about, exception of like the ones I bet on.
Yeah.
Done exactly what we said.
Keep that going, buddy. Keep that going.
I hope. Yeah. All right. I got a couple other stocks that I wanted to quickly look at if we have time.
Yeah, we got time.
All right. First one is Snapchat.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we were talking about this earlier.
Ticker Snap, S-N-A-P. I posted this on the Discord because I think when I was looking at it, it was sitting at a really key level of $48, roughly. $48.70, somewhere around there. But looking at it going back to October, there's a major gap up that needs to be filled. And then there's also a giant gap from October this year above that needs to be filled. So the question I was asking is, which gap's going to fill first?
Yeah.
This looks to me like it broke that level that we were watching, came up, it's retested it, and I think it's setting up to fall some more. Volume's confirming that. Volume's increasing on the down candles. I don't think this one's done falling. And I think I bought some puts with the $42 price target.
Yeah.
Because I think 40 is probably my first target.
Yeah, I almost followed you on those put calls.
Well, if you would have waited an hour after I did, you would have gotten a better price.
Yeah, I see that last hour.
I'm trying to remember. I got January. Okay, I did get January. I paid a little extra for some extra time, so in case it doesn't go my way, I can get out and not get wrecked on time decay.
Yeah. No, that is very important. Like, buying right at Friday close is always scary to me now because of the weekend. I'm like, I don't know what's going to happen the fucking weekend.
Well, I'm planning on swinging this. This is like a couple week play.
Yeah.
Less concerned about getting it exactly right, just as long as the whole idea plays out. The more I look at what we've been doing with this segment, like, that seems to be the way to go.
Yeah.
You identify the play, get something that, you know, you're comfortable with letting ride for 3 weeks. And more often than not, it seems to be working out.
Yeah, it's true.
The other company that I was looking at was Roblox, RBLX ticker.
Yeah.
This one gapped up real, this one really gapped up on its earnings on the 8th. I mean, look at that gap. That's from, say, 92 down to 80s.
Yeah, went to 80, gapped up from 80 to 92.
Yeah. It kind of, I mean, I don't know if you can call that a flag that it's in the pattern right now, but. I mean, volume in this whole area looks real thin. Look how much bigger the red candles are compared to the greens. I think if that 110 area doesn't hold, then we may be seeing this come down, maybe start filling that gap here soon.
Looking, it looks like the 20-day EMA is providing support. Like, you see how it's just kind of like resting right underneath those last 3-day candles?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'd be looking to break.
Watching the 20 EMA.
Yeah, only because it looks like it's holding support so well. Yeah, might as well. It's the indicator fits. Might as well use it.
That's all I got for stocks to watch. You got any on your watch list?
I do have a couple to watch. See, the first one that I got my eye on, I've been trying to look more towards things at all-time highs. So, and I even made an options play on a little bit of a fade on PSTG, Pure Storage Center.
PSTG. Yeah.
They're still looking great on the weekly candles, but on the daily, you can see it's like, it's bull flagging. It's making a pendant.
Double top.
It's making it, was that a inverted triangle? But the green candle days are so much bigger.
Ascending triangle.
There we go.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Green candle volume days are much, much bigger, and the red candle volume days are dropping off. Like I said, I actually did make a play on the puts and made some money on them, but I think it ended up being more of a fade idea, looking at how it ended with the volume. So it does look like $30 held as support on Thursday. Yep. You know, Friday ended a down day. I expect it to be hitting new all-time highs next week.
Yeah, if it I think if it pops that all-time high, then yeah, it's got some room to run. Do keep in mind, though, you do have a gap there. So if that $30 area does fail, then you may be filling that gap from, what is that, 29 to...
down to 28. It's a dollar gap.
Yeah.
Well, when I bought my puts, that was my original idea, was that the green bar on Thursday like the volume was so low. I was like, how is this a thing? You can see the tail on today's candle. I sold it maybe towards the bottom of that tail. So I did make money before it moved back up.
Oh, so you did it perfect then. Yeah, you got low. Yeah, nailed that one.
I think we were talking earlier. I was like, I was really proud of my exit on that one. And I was using market structure to do it. I was not using my fucking gut, mm-hmm. you know? I was like, okay,
yeah,
it's failing to make lower lows, but it's down there near there. I'm not going to bank that it's going to make lower lows the second time it tries, third time it right. tries. The another one that caught my eye, I was actually eating lunch with Ryan, one of our users on the Discord. People might remember him from helping me cook those wings on the Hot Wings Challenge.
Yeah.
I was showing him, we were looking at UMC, United Microelectronics, a semiconductor company that broke into new highs this week on the wick of the candle on December 1st.
A lot of volume on that too.
Yeah, right after a gap up. I honestly didn't check if there was any news or anything, but I've got $12 mapped out as a support level, and it does so far seem to be holding. The volume of the cells, it did go down a little bit today, 0.5%, went down 0.5% on lower than average volume.
But what's cool about this one? Okay, look, you see look at the days, the 3 days leading up to the big jump. And look how the volume is accelerating on those days.
Yeah, that's
exactly what you want to see. And then the doji candle.
Exactly. This is why I was like, I when I found it, I was like, oh, this would be a good one to go over with Ryan, talking about technical analysis. Like I was explaining the doji candle.
So yeah, real quick for anybody who doesn't know what a doji is, it's when you're looking at the candles, it's one that has like a very, very thin body with really long tails. You can almost call that a spinning bottom.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I'll put a link to a description of that.
You can also see that 20-day EMA kind of holding this support there too.
Mm-hmm.
So right now, the 20 DMA is actually lining up with one of my levels from the volume profile, 1150. So if 12 fails, I'm looking for 1150 to catch. And if it doesn't, then I'm looking I'm thinking it's going to get below 10 again. But since it's in all-time high territory, I've got a bullish bias.
I would even say, too, those two previous peaks back in March and May should provide a level of support, too, at 1125.
Yeah, I believe it or not, I drew three lines back in May, and one of them was that line connecting those peaks at 11,
yep.
$11.30. And then I had one at 975, and now my line is at 990. So it's not, I was like, I felt pretty good about myself. It's like, hey, I was doing a good job finding those levels. All right. They worked out
pretty good.
They fucking held up.
Amazing how that works, right?
Yeah, if I bought when it broke out of that one level. Yeah. Anyway, all right, we should move on because we are now starting to get long because we've just been talking about stocks forever.
Yeah, I told you it happened.
Yep, you did. Any earnings coming up, Kyle?
Nope.
Awesome.
I didn't even look. I'm pretty sure it's dead week.
Sounds good to me. And let's talk about some crypto.
Let's do it.
You see the cult of cryptocurrency. I know you're greedy. I know you need. You need that Bitcoin, Ether, NFT. Cult of cryptocurrency.
All right, Kyle, what's your big story? Your big crypto story?
I don't have one.
Woo!
They're all falling right now. They're all falling right now, and it's kind of weird because the big threat on the table that's tanking the stock market is the threat of raising interest rates because now that inflation's getting out of control. So you'd think that crypto would be benefiting from that.
You would,
it
right?
It doesn't seem to be right now. So I'm not sure why. If anybody knows, you know, message us, tell us. I would love to know.
I did come across one story. I'll say this. On Coinbase, when things were selling off the other day, I was like, all right, let me transfer my shit into the US dollar coin. And I got charged $3 for every coin I transferred into US dollar coin from Coinbase.
Oh, fuck you, Coinbase.
Yeah. I got to get off Coinbase. I'm going to go on Discord and start asking people, like, what do you use and what are the fucking fees? Because I want something like Ameritrade, damn it. Anyway.
Right. I don't know that you're going to get anything like that. That's probably where that regulation is going to come in handy.
Exactly. No, I did come across a story that Janet Yellen, the U.S. Treasury Secretary, has given her opinions on the potential of a digital dollar.
Oh.
But she hesitates.
Yay.
To make any conclusions at this stage.
Sounds like a government official.
Right. She's not formed a view on whether the Federal Reserve should create a digital dollar, but she reiterated that such a thing would need not only more research, but consensus among Congress, the central bank, and the White House. So basically, I think Yellen said, we'll never get a digital dollar.
I don't understand the difference between that and like using credit cards. I mean, isn't that basically a digital dollar? I
go right.
Use digital dollars every time I fill up my gas tank.
Look, you go to your bank, they don't have their entire set of assets in the vault.
In fact, that's part of what led to the financial crisis was
the liquidity
lending requirements or like, how much they're, how much they have to keep on hand. Something like 31, I think, during the peak of the crisis.
The downside to, I should say, in contrast, one of the Fed Reserve governors, Lael Brainard, President Biden's choice for vice chair of the Fed, is calling for urgency to step up making a digital dollar. And she brings up very good points of China and other nations developing their own central bank digital currencies. And she's saying it's a race to the top and we should at least start running to win the race. Like, it's time to stop stretching and analyzing the track. Let's just go ahead and start running. But, right. You know, people, you know, it's stuff. If the United States governing system is known for one thing, it's expediency. Expediency, expediency.
Okay.
Hey, Jerome Powell said there's no need for the central bank to hurry.
No need for the central bank.
No. Oh, yeah. No, yeah. You've missed your punctuation there, Jerome. Yeah. So the Fed's not rushing to do it. They may be talking about it, but they're, okay. So I'm actually getting more and more bullish on crypto. Like the more the news comes out, things like this, I read this and I'm like, oh, we're not going to get a digital dollar. Well, I better put some more money in fucking Ethereum then.
Right. Yeah. I'm starting to really like Ethereum. The more, as we're doing these year-end review, or talking to these guests for the special, all the crypto ones seem to really like Ethereum.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, especially since they're going to roll out the proof of stake instead of proof of work.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be way better for the environment. That's going to alleviate a lot of the concerns like Norway and Sweden have about how much energy it wastes.
That'll be good.
Yep.
All right, Dan.
Draw, motherfucker.
I was wondering how long I can wait before I could say it and still win.
Yeah, I know. I could tell. I was like, he's getting cocky.
Man, I don't know that I had very much good this week. I think my only good was my sim trading.
Well, how was your sim trading? How'd that go?
Well, the difference, I think, with sim trading and real trading is that you don't really worry about the losses because they're not real.
Yeah.
So like you take one bad trade, like, okay, whatever. You take another bad trade. Okay, whatever. You take another trade and it's good. And like, boom, now you're up for the day.
Yeah.
But whereas when you're, you know, when it's live, like suddenly it becomes a lot harder to pull the trigger on that third time.
Yes.
When you know the setup is there and you shouldn't be focused on the results. You should just be focusing on the setup. So I did really well with the sim, did really bad with the live, which was my bad for the week. So to recap all that, I think I might have to step down to the micros just to practice with something on the table, but not something that's going to blow my account out.
That's what I found is valuable to me. I trade way differently, even one micro. You know, that's what all this week I've been live with one micro when I'm live.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been a much better week for me.
Yeah,
for sure. For sure. Way different than when I'm like, I was trying. Anyway, I'll get to that in my.
I keep bouncing back and forth between the micros and the full minis. And I think for the next month, I think I just need to stick with micros and that's it.
Yeah. Yeah. Not a bad thought. Yep.
So what was your good and bad?
My good was I started doing better at, with my options trading, making a plan based on the chart,
mm-hmm.
and using market structure to plan my entries and exits. I sold some OGI puts. You can get on the Discord server under Kyle and Dan Trades and check out the chart, very chart I was looking at when I bought those puts, and I sold them today at about a 12% profit.
Not bad
for a couple of days. And then I did the same thing I alluded earlier, the PSTG puts. I saw it was a kind of a tweezer top, and I was like, oh, well, this might not be a long-term thing. It's got that gap. It's got a lot of short potential. And I ended up just fading it and selling those for money just based on the market structure. And that was very reaffirming that was a good win for Team Dan. And psychologically.
There you go, Dan. What was your bad?
My bad, I gotta say, is I'm still way too emotionally on the roller coaster. I'm still tying my ego and sense of ego to my success instead of just focusing on the process.
That's so hard to not do, though.
It's so hard. But yeah.
Hey, we got Rich Friesen coming up. I bet he has some tips for
you. I really am very much going to want to be picking his brain for that very thing. Yes.
Uh-huh. I'll be taking notes too, because I think we all struggle with that.
Yeah, I don't know how you couldn't. Everybody's we are all human. And if you're not, reach out. I want to interview you.
I'd love to talk to a trading robot or an algorithm.
God damn it, Kyle, it's all ones and zeros. I can't make sense of what this bot is saying. Anyway, what was your ugly?
I don't know that I really had an ugly, because I was able to shut everything down before it got terrible.
Okay.
So I think I'm gonna have to punt on that, because it never really got out of control.
I had an ugly, and it happened today. I started the morning all gung-ho. I was using these MACD indicators for futures trading, and I was like, okay, I'm gonna test this. I'm going to make these kinds of trades and we'll see how it goes.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe an hour in, I shit you not, we're sitting there and we're talking on the Discord channel and I'm trading and I'm like, oh, okay. This hasn't been working for me. So instead of like sitting back and trying to refine the process and be like, well, I should still be using these zones and you know, doing it right. I just started, I was sim trading all day. And because I was sim, I was like,
right.
Oh, all three of these MACDs are crossed above positive, so I'm just going to smash the market buy. And I think my micro sim account hit a point where it was down $2,000.
Oh my god!
So let that be a lesson to all you futures traders out there.
You still can lose money, significant money on the micros.
Well, and I guess I did want my one takeaway was, like, even if I'm selling as it's dropping, mm-hmm. when it's dropping, there are real large market orders pushing it down. So like I'm market selling, mm-hmm. but by the time I get the contract, it's already at lower than where it was when I hit market sell.
Right.
And somebody market buys, pushes it right back up. I get stopped out, and then it goes right back down again. So it's a terrible, terrible method. Don't recommend it.
Yeah. I actually think I'm going to start playing around with trying some different stop placements instead of going for the like the 7 ticks or the 5 ticks that we've been using mm-hmm. with the 2-point take profit. I might try doing like a 3 to 5 point stop loss.
Yeah.
Just so if I'm, you know, if a lot of times I seem like I've got the right idea, it just doesn't quite execute the way I want it to.
Yeah.
But I think before I can do that, I got to get a lot better at hitting that scratch button.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. I mean, me too.
So maybe that's something I can work on when I'm fooling around with those micros.
Yep. Yes, sir. Shall we make a bet? Tie a bow on it?
I think so. Let's do it.
In the center of a universe, that's for every one of us. Consequence for one of us. Make our picks with no regret. Every open, every close, every spread is the mighty bed.
Okay, well, you get to go first, buddy. GE.
I know that hurt. It's worse because I bought calls on it on Friday.
Oh yeah.
God, there's so many things I want to short.
Oh yeah, there's plenty of shorting opportunities out there.
I really just want to short Roblox.
Yeah. All right.
I think I'm gonna do that and place a put my stop at 120, 150.
You got to take profit.
Say $100, 50%.
I like it. I think you're gonna do very well with that.
Maybe we'll make it 105 cents.
Oh,
there just to make sure, because that's a very big psychological number, just in case.
Might not actually touch it.
And then also, if it does hit my take profit, then my stop's going to my entry.
All right. All right. That's written in pen. You can't go back on that now.
I don't want to.
Okay, good.
What are you taking?
Good. I got so many choices. There are literally thousands of equities to choose from.
I know. As the random can attest to.
I really like UMC.
I do too.
I'm kind of scared that it's going to fill that gap at the beginning of the week and then shoot up.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's going to find support at 1150. All right. So I guess what I'll do is, fuck it. Bets are for having fun, right? I'm going to go long UMC, and I'll put a stop at 1125.
Wow. Okay.
Because I think 1150 is the next support. So if it fills that gap, I still expect it to end the week breaking a new high at 13.
That's a lot to happen in a week, but this thing's moving a lot right now.
Yeah. All right. We got a random.
All right. One or two?
One.
All right. And 1 through 12?
11.
Ooh, New York Stock Exchange Technology. HubSpot.
HUBS. Hubs.
Hubs, yes.
Oh, it touched its 100-day EMA today.
That 735 area looks like it held really nice today. I mean, it really dipped below, but it shot right back up to it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, it touched that 100-day moving average and whoop, shot right back up.
Yeah. This one's been on a nice run. All right, random. We did it again.
Please, please. We need some more user-submitted ones. This is demoralizing.
There's a nice gap there at 622.
I was just drawing a line right there. I zoomed out and I was like, oh, look at that. This has been following really solid market structure since March of 2020 when it was at 71 and it now is at 745. So, 1,000% gain.
Options will be really expensive on this, though. But,
Man, imagine buying a leap in March 2020.
Jesus, no.
You can do it all right.
Blow out your whole account in one contract.
Right. Okay, so you think it's long? I mean, that's what I would pick.
Yeah, it's long.
After a day like today. Okay, well, there you have it, folks. Kyle's got Roblox. I got United Microelectronics UMC. Corporation, UMC. And Random is busting out the HubSpot, HUBS. Stay tuned next week. We'll let you know how the very first bet of December, how it goes, where it takes us.
Oh, yeah, we got to do a monthly review, too.
Oh, shit. We got a monthly review coming up. Okay. Yeah, all right.
Someone's going to get some consequences. I got some good choices for you too this month.
What? What consequences?
Yeah.
For what?
Kind of brushed over that in the. We talked about the results.
Oh, shit. I was just trying to weasel out of it. That's all.
You almost did.
So close.
You know, if NNDM would have put you in the lead, I think I might have felt guilty of taking that. I probably would have said no bet.
I let you talk me out of it.
Yeah. I know, but I still would have felt really bad. That would have felt like cheating.
Well, yeah. No, notice how hard I try to talk you out of your bet picks. It's because you don't make bad ones.
You haven't.
I'm all like Babe Ruth swinging, calling shots
that,
swinging over the fence.
Man, like I get one win a week. It just happens to be good enough to not blow out everything because I put really tight stops.
You're right.
I got one win a month. I mean,
yeah. All right. Well, we'll see if that holds in December. We'll be back with month in review very soon. We'll let you know what those consequences are for me. Yours truly, very, very sad that I have another one, but it can't be a mustache. So that's a positive.
No, it cannot be a mustache. Although it could be.
No, not happening. Not doing that again. All right, folks. No, until next time. Happy trades.
All right, bye.
Two Bulls in a China Shop is an entertainment program, and all thoughts and opinions expressed in the show belong to the hosts and not of any company. They are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual or on any specific security or investment product. It is only intended to provide entertainment about stocks and the financial industry of trading. If you make trades based on what you hear in this show, you assume all risks for those trades.